Welcome to Mentoring Moments. Mentoring Moments is a sub-series of the E-Commerce Edge podcast. It is composed of clips taken from Jason's one-to-one and group mentorship sessions. Hey again, everybody. I'm here again with Ashley on one of our one-to-one mentorship calls, and she's got some fabulous questions. She's always got a great agenda for me, and I love that about her. So thank you, Ashley, for always coming up with fantastic questions that are pretty broadly applicable to lots of different people at lots of different stages of the life cycle of their e-commerce business. And particularly as you're going through that startup phase, I think a lot of these startup type questions are things that go through lots of founders' minds. It's what do we do? How do we do it? What order do we do it in? How do we save money? How do we not bankrupt ourselves in the process? How do we develop or source products? All that sort of stuff, I think, is pretty useful stuff and something that I think all e-commerce startups face. And so let's just dig straight into your agenda for the day and try to get through as much as we can. And then in a couple of weeks' time, we can pick back up where we leave off. Sound like a plan?
Sounds good.
Cool. So you said, what are e-commerce optimization best practices? So maybe you can tell me what you're referring to, whether that's SEO, whether that's, you know, what, when you say optimization best practices, are we talking about org design? Are we talking about processes? Are we talking about marketing? Which piece specifically are you referring to?
I guess I'll throw the question back to you and say, which is most important when starting from scratch? So like you said, I'm starting a business. I just bought my yearly subscription to Shopify. And I know how to build a Shopify website, but I don't know if I'm doing it right or the most efficiently. Or so, yeah, I'll throw it back to you and say, which are the most important areas to start and optimize first?
Yeah, look, I think that when you're a startup, the quote unquote quality of the site or the custom functionality or the specifically the branding type stuff, like all that stuff is important, but it's far less important than getting up and getting transacting, getting your catalog live. Because the reality is you could spend a huge amount of time, you could spend a huge amount of money on SEO and optimization and optimizing all of your meta tags and your content and all that sort of stuff and putting out blogs and all that sort of stuff. But the reality is that until other sites start linking to you, the reality is that none of that stuff is going to matter that much. Like it's pretty easy for Google to index you from an organic perspective, but you're unlikely to be going into a space that has zero competition. And therefore, you're going to already have competitors that are probably a bit further along the curve than you are. And so I think that basic theme and an out-of-the-box theme, that there's hundreds of them, both free and paid. I think any of the major themes that feel like they fit where you want to take your brand are a great place to start. They typically have all of the core functionality of the out of the box. They have the main sections that are then editable, both from a content and from a branding perspective. They have the ability for you to obviously upload your logo, select your general styles and your theme colors and all that sort of stuff. It's generally available in the theme editor. And as a result of that, for most people starting out, they don't necessarily need anything custom done for them. Once you've built your brand and you're starting to grow and you're starting to find your feet and your niche and everything else, then I think it's a different kettle of fish. And especially as you scale and you need to integrate with back office systems and all that sort of stuff, I think then it starts to become mission critical. But in the first instance, the vast majority of brands will be working with, say, for example, a 3PL for fulfillment. They won't have their own warehouse. They won't have their own pick, pack, dispatch function in the business yet. There's no need for them to. So they will integrate with a 3PL, 4PL type of service provider. And in which case, the vast majority of 3PLs have an out-of-the-box integration with Shopify. And as a result of that, all you have to do is to allow them to integrate with your Shopify store to be able to pull down orders, fulfill those orders. Their system will automatically update your orders with the shipment status and the tracking details. Then they will also, when they receive inbound stock on your behalf, they will automatically use their own warehouse and inventory management system to update the inventory number in Shopify, as well as they can usually also update Shopify with an availability date as, say, a meta field, because Shopify out of the box doesn't show an availability date for an item that's out of stock, but with minor customization, it can be made to so long as the data is in Shopify. And so usually they will know when stock is due to arrive into the warehouse so that when they update the inventory value of a product, they can actually put a due date in. They can push that in as a meta field date, just a straight date, that then can be displayed on the front end with some very minor customization on the product page, for example. And so I think that a lot of brands get caught up in making everything perfect, whereas I say it's more important, progress over perfection is the most important thing. And the reality is the vast majority of startup brands on Shopify are going to be using performance marketing to drive the majority of their traffic because they don't have a big social presence yet. They don't necessarily have a known brand yet. They oftentimes are going to have to start working with influencers out of the box. They're going to have to rely primarily on performance marketing and influencer marketing to get their brand kicked off and to start generating some traffic to their site. And then from that point, you can start to see, because you have so much granular control over the campaigns you're running, over the keywords that trigger those campaigns to be visible to the customer, which ones are converting, which ones are driving the most traffic and conversions, all that stuff. I think that starts to give you some really valuable data points of where to start optimizing for the organic content that you want to add in the form of blog posts, in the form of social content, social videos, et cetera, that then can be embedded in the site and reutilized across multiple channels. I think that from an optimization perspective, what you should be optimizing for is profitability, which means that from an operational perspective, you want to, from a sourcing perspective, you want to obviously keep your costs down as low as possible. You want to stick with the lowest MOQs or minimum order quantities with your supplier or suppliers that you can possibly get away with. As a startup, you may have to do a deal with them where they waive their normal MOQ for the first 6 months or something like that because you're a startup. So it's about having those conversations, and it is about, I guess, organizing yourself to be as efficient as you possibly can in your operations. And as I said, if you're dealing with a 3PL, then you don't even need to have anything like your shipping carrier aggregator services or anything like that, because you're effectively outsourcing that to the 3PL vendor. And so you don't have to own a warehouse, you don't have to rent a warehouse, you basically don't have to do anything from an operational fulfillment perspective or a receipting of product perspective. That's all that complexity is borne by the 3PL vendor. And so that's usually the very, very best way to start. And then I would say that you want to make sure that your service is top-notch. You want to make sure that you are immediately responding to live chats. You want to make sure that you are immediately responding to emails. We had a goal when I had my online own e-commerce pure play. Our goal was to respond to emails, all emails, pretty much nearly 24/7 within 30 minutes. That was our goal. And we had a free phone number that people could ring. And my business partner and I took turns taking that cell phone that was assigned to that free phone number home with us every single night. And so there was very few times that someone could call us and there was not going to be an answer of the phone. And when you first start out with your business, you've got more time than money. Later in your business, you'll have more money than time. And so when you're still small, you've got to be scrappy and you've got to do something to stand out. And one of the ways in which you can stand out is by offering a level of service that the bigger players just simply cannot afford to offer. And so they might only have help desk operating from 9 to 5, for example, in local business hours, and then everything else gets responded to the next day. They might not offer a free phone number, for example. They might offer a paid phone number. And again, they might only answer the phone 9 to 5. They might have a live chat that is only available. Oftentimes, I see that even available during narrower hours than normal business hours. So sometimes it's live chat is only available from, say, 10 to 4, almost like banker's hours. So I think that if you can really stand out and treat every single one of those very first customers that you've likely paid to acquire through performance marketing or some other form of marketing, if you can really treat them like gold and you can absolutely blow them away with the level of service, both pre-sales and post-sales service that you give, I think that's the kind of optimization you need. You need to optimize for the customer experience. You need to optimize for customer service. You need to optimize for that follow-up level of service more than anything else. So that would be my general, this is very high level. Every business is slightly different. Some are funded, some are VC funded, some are not. Some are bootstrapped, some are not. So the advice is a little bit different depending on the type of business that it is, what vertical, how much competition you've got, all sorts of other things. But that general advice around optimizing for the customer experience, pre and post purchase and during the purchase, I think that kind of advice never goes astray.
I completely agree. Do you have any favorite apps or platforms that you would use for customer service?
I would recommend Gorgeous for customer service. They, in my opinion, are pretty much the best, and their level of deep integration with Shopify is very impressive. So to where you can inside Gorgeous, when you open up a help desk ticket, for example, or live checkly within Gorgeous, you can see order history. You can see all sorts of data. You can see the page that they're actually on at the time they submit a live chat. You can view what they've actually got in their cart at that time. There's all sorts of data that Gorgeous gives you in real time as you're interacting with customers. That is super, super valuable. And it's dirt cheap. That's the reality, is that Gorgeous is dirt cheap for what it is, in my opinion. Some people find it maybe expensive, especially compared to the competition. I think Gorgeous is just, I think it's a ridiculously good value for the benefits that it brings to the kind of customer service that you can give. And having all of those contacts aggregated in one system, whether it's through email, whether it's through live chat, whether it's through social contact like Messenger or WhatsApp, et cetera. I just think the number of integrations that they've with all of the different types of contact channels, it's literally just a, from my perspective, an absolute no-brainer. I think, don't quote me on this, but I think they even now have an integration with Twitter DMs. So I think, and I think also with it, and they definitely have an integration with Instagram DM. So I think that kind of stuff is where the real value is, so that customers can contact you through any channel and none of it slips through the cracks.
I did not know that about the social DMs. That's pretty.
Yes, yes. You just hook it up to your profile, your account profile in Gorgeous, and it will start bringing in all of your social DMs from almost all platforms. I can't remember exactly the full list, but it's quite a few different social platforms that they integrate with out of the box. So it's very cool. Okay. Now, you've also asked the question, biggest mistakes people make when they initially create their Shopify account and store, worrying about the non-critical shit. Like really, it's pretty straightforward. The vast majority of brand new startups on Shopify, they're going to get an out-of-the-box theme. They're going to create, they're going to sign up for their subscription. They're going to link their domain name to Shopify using Shopify's tooling to do very easy to set up your DNS to point to the Shopify server. And they've got a help. They've got several help articles on how to very easily do that. Installing a theme, whether paid or free, going to take you 5 minutes to install a theme, maybe even less, just a couple minutes to install a theme. It's going to take you, depending on which 3PL you integrate with, it may take them anywhere. It depends on if they've got a private app. Some 3PL providers have what's known as a private app that allows them to integrate with your store via an app. Sometimes it's a custom API integration or a semi-custom API integration, in which case they just need some API keys to be able to connect to your store. And that can take anywhere, with most 3PLs that have a connection with Shopify, anywhere from a day to a week. And then from there, you're up and running. And so I think that you load up your catalog, you get that integrated, you get all your images loaded in, whether that be upload via CSV is probably the easiest, unless you have a very small catalog, in which case you can create your catalog with in very short time through directly through Shopify admin, including all your variants. You upload your images, you upload your contact details to the website, you create your contact us form, you create your collections slash categories and assign your products to the categories as required. And then you lay out the hierarchy of your categories of how you want them to be nested underneath each other in terms of primary categories, subs and sub categories or collections. You put your, you can create very quickly and easily inside Shopify, you can create some auto collection rules, which basically says, okay, if it's got this in the name, then put it into this category. If it's got this as an attribute, put this into a category, into this category. So you can automate a whole lot of your product category assignments using those, that rules engine inside Shopify. And then with, I can set up a basic Shopify store in a couple of hours. That's the reality. And I think that, so when I think people as a startup start up the Shopify store, they use the excuse in many instances of how hard and how time consuming it's going to be as an excuse to procrastinate. I think just get up there, get transacting, start driving traffic from as many channels as you can, as fast as you can, learn, adapt, adjust, update based on customer feedback. That would be my, and I think that about the only area where I think Shopify is so weak that I think it's super beneficial to have a third party functionality is site search. Because you don't get a lot of analytics around site search from Shopify's native site search, I would recommend, whether it be Searchonize or it be, you don't need to spend the earth on advanced site search, but you probably need a third party. I don't want to call them all enterprise site search tools, because they, not all of them are, but certainly they will be able to give you almost all of the search platform apps that plug into Shopify, allow you to merchandise the search results page, for example, to elevate certain brands over other brands, or allow you to define the exact order of the results for specific search queries. They will show you the history of the search queries. They will show you data on queries that have zero results, which are what you really want to fix straight away, whether that be by adding products that suit those queries or doing an automatic redirect for that query to a specific category or a specific set of products that are suitable for that query. Even if out of the box, there would not be any natural exact matches for that query. You don't ever want, in a perfect world, you never want a customer to search for something and get a zero results page. That's the worst experience possible. So there's, in terms of ongoing optimization, site search result optimization is a biggie, for, especially for startups. There's so much gold in that information because about all the data shows that about 50% of your site visitors are going to want to use traditional navigation to find the products they're looking for, and about 50% are going to want to use site search to find the products that they're looking for. It's about 50-50, depending on your vertical and brand. And so the reality is that that site search data is absolute gold mine for both product development, for customer experience improvements, et cetera. So start. Those would be the key things that I think I see. I don't deal with a lot of startups anymore because my consulting business deals primarily with mid-market companies and larger that are doing about circa $20 million a year in GMV and larger. That's the type of brands that I'm typically dealing with. And they're usually pretty complex brands doing complex B2B and or D2C alongside their B2B work. I don't deal with a lot of small brands anymore, but I guess throughout the history of me dealing with small brands historically, these are the types of common mistakes that I see over and over again, just focusing on shit that doesn't matter and doesn't really move the needle in their business.
Gotcha. No, that makes 100% sense. Thank you.
No worries. And you were talking about favorite apps for analytics, attribution, and reporting. I think attribution is going to get fuzzier and fuzzier, particularly with the death of third-party cookies. I think that there's platforms out there like Northbeam and Triple Whale, and there's a whole slew of sort of attribution companies out there. But the reality is, I think that the vast majority of those are all sizzle and no steak. I think it's just going to get increasingly more difficult, especially with the privacy moves by Apple and being able to obfuscate email performance so heavily, being able to obfuscate visits from the different browsers because they just aren't honoring third-party cookies anymore. I think that it's just going to get harder and harder to get any kind of attribution data out there. And I think that no matter what third-party technology provider tells you, it's going to be very difficult to get an accurate picture of attribution. I think that overall, you want to see that when you, obviously, if you're doing attribution through paid acquisition, the reality is that data is going to be massively valuable because Google's going to show you the click-through data. They're going to show you the performance data on your ads, for example. And so you'll know exactly what's working and what's not. But outside of that, I think particularly when you're coming from social platforms and you're coming from God knows how many channels out there in terms of acquisition, it's just going to be really difficult to nail down attribution with any form of accuracy. And so I think that really Google Analytics is probably good enough for 99% of merchants out there, and it's obviously free. But then you also still have to know what to do with that data. And I think that many brands, just especially when they're small, you've got owner operators in many instances trying to wear 15 different hats. And if they just focused, I think brands need to focus a little bit less on the analytics, focus a little bit more on the customer experience and customer service, and making sure that they always have products in stock, making sure that they're shipping quickly, making sure that they're following up with every single customer, making sure that they're happy. And if they're not, absolutely breaking your back to make sure that they are, answering every question very quickly that a customer may have, making sure that your team is happy, making sure that we answer the phone. And when you go back and you respond via email and live chat, that you're polite and you're friendly and you're welcoming and you're appreciative of their business. And I just still see so many businesses that they just don't get the basics right. Anyways, I think that's about all we're going to be able to get through today. And you've got a bit more on your agenda, but maybe we can slide that to 2 weeks from now and we can cover a whole bunch more ground. Sound like a plan?
Sounds good. Thank you.
If you'd like to get mentored by Jason for free, head over to greenwoodconsulting.net, scroll to the bottom of the page, and click Get Mentored by Jason.